You already know, and welcome into the Monday edition of The Lowdown. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. We thank you so much for being here with us. That is Jason Ross.
Hello.
I am Damian Barling, and we will talk about the incredible finish to the Open Championship by Jordan Spieth here just in a little bit. Jordan Spieth led. I know he lost the lead there at 13, but he led day one to close, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Just that one little gap, but that fired him up. He played better golf after that.
I know. Yeah, isn't that how it works?
You shoot. Not normally.
I mean, that's how I golf, right? You shoot a couple bad shots, and everything just smooth sailing from there. What a! That's the first golf tournament since 2008, since the Open in 2008. Since the U.S. Open in 2008, where I went back and watched like a chunk of it like that. Because you're watching it live, like, this is really incredible, but you don't want to rewind it because you want to, like, just stay in the moment. But as soon as it was over, like, I was just like, I need to see this again. Like, how did this happen? And went all the way back to, really, I started at 13th and just watched that.
Yeah.
By the way, that hole took, like, 30 minutes.
It was forever. I've never seen it. And they were already on the clock for taking too long.
Right.
People that complain about baseball and basketball and football's timing. I mean, this was...
Shorten it up.
Yeah, it was good theater, but it was just strange. It was bizarre.
Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible stuff there from Jordan Spieth. As we do each and every single weekend, we will have our best and worst of the weekend. You can share yours, as always, at 44-1140. Of course, the phone lines 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We will start today where we left off Friday. If you were with us on Friday, as you most certainly have heard by now, Kyrie Irving's put in that trade with Kress. Probably the biggest story. It's the biggest story right now outside what Jordan Spieth did, simply because of the timing of it. I think there's a lot of intricacies to it that we'll try to break apart here over the next few minutes. We'll start with, we could get this out of the way. The Kings aren't involved in this. Right?
There was a report, right?
I think it was the guy who tweeted us when we brought the story out. He said De'Aaron Fox and whoever. I think he started a rumor.
Yeah. I think they're not, but I think they should be.
Well, everybody should be.
Yeah, I think they should be. And the people that are, what? No De'Aaron Fox. Listen, I'm not trying to get rid of De'Aaron Fox. You need to look at it.
It's Kyrie Irving for two more years. At least two more years.
What do we know about him? He's an all-star. What's De'Aaron Fox? I don't know. He could be better than him. He may not be, though. We don't know. And some people say, oh, I've heard people use that counter, Damien. Oh, it's only 2 years. 2 years is forever in the NBA.
Two years you do.
Yeah.
1 year you don't.
Right.
2 years you do.
Yeah.
You do that.
So I say look at it. Think about it. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. But you have to look at it.
That's why Jimmy Butler was a bigger commodity than Paul George.
Right.
He has 2 years. Paul George has one. By the way, what a fantastic the article by Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst.
Oh, full details.
That came out. I mean, not only that, but the details on the Paul George deal. We had heard that the Paul George deal fell apart, but they laid out every detail. And now how do you feel if you're Kevin Love?
Right.
You know.
Like twice they had him gone.
You're always the guy who's gone.
Yeah.
In the rumors. Now you have, like, confirmed reports that you were – one text message away, one cold feet text message away from being in, was it Denver?
Denver, yeah. Which, when I read that part of it, I mean, I read it and we already know what's happened, the dominoes that have happened since. So I'm sure at the Denver press conference for, let's say, Paul Millsap, this is the guy we always wanted. We were targeting him. Well, wait a minute. I'm reading something that you wanted Kevin Love. You get Kevin Love, you're not getting Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
But I just look at all the different dominoes and the way that, or maybe when Indiana makes the trade and they bring in their players, like, oh, we wanted Victor Oladipo, and we wanted some. Did you, or did you want this other deal? I mean, it's so funny how these things work.
Paul Millsap is asking for a trade as we speak because he feels like he was deceived.
Yeah,
he was lied to. That's a joke. That's not true. Please don't tweet that.
But people would believe it.
Yeah, it's so. Does Kevin Love ask now? Like, in a week?
Yeah.
Today?
He should do it now. That would be so great.
Kevin Love wants out of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland be like, look, we want out of Kevin Love. What do you want us to do? What do you want us to do right now? But, yeah, the details that were in that article and the question I was left with was, who leaked this story?
The Kyrie part?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that because it laid out when I guess this as Jerry would say, this is a big matzo ball that's been hanging out there for the Cavs, and they knew during summer league, and they've known for a while,
right? So, but it didn't have to get leaked, but it did. It changed everything.
So who did it?
Yeah.
Dump, dump, dump. We'll tell you who did it because I'm positive I know who did it at 12:30. Unconfirmed reports coming at 12:30 of who leaked this story. But of course, this gave fodder for every basketball writer out there. Whether, you know, Ramona and Brian, they're great reporters, but now you got like Zach Lowe's jumping in. It's like, all right, we got the most likely trade scenarios here for you. Take a look at these. Or, you know, Bill Simmons putting there together their trade reports in there. Oh, by the way, we'll make a quick call here to Minnesota. I've spent the weekend.
Oh.
I've spent the weekend.
Me too.
Have you changed your mind?
No, I'm ready for that phone call. Whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready to call me as Minnesota.
So GM. You were thinking about it too, huh?
Yeah.
Are you willing?
You have to call me first.
I'm calling.
Oh, you're calling?
Yes. Excuse me, Mr. Great and Powerful Cavs GM.
Okay, yes. Oh, wait. I got to call. I got to take this one.
I want to revisit our conversation about sending Kyrie over to us here in Minnesota.
Kyrie. Oh, okay. Yes. What can I do for you today?
I really would hate to give up Andrew Wiggins.
Okay.
So is there someone else that I can entice you with other than Andrew Wiggins? Because I know there are some guys.
Oh, yeah,
here
I told you.
Besides Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I
and told Jimmy you. Butler.
Well, that was my list. That's what I'm interested in.
I'm starting to consider sending Andrew Wiggins your way.
Oh. Okay.
I'm warming up to that a little bit.
Well, my deal has changed. You saw draft day. It always changes. Now you're interested.
Okay.
So I need a little more.
You can kiss my butt, man. I'm not doing
would
this
I be the
you.
Worst GM ever?
Oh, you're in.
They're like, I'm not calling him.
You're awful.
What were you thinking, honestly?
I think if you're Minnesota, you probably start considering it.
Yeah. And figure out what to do with Teague later or whatever. Use them both.
Because you got a couple years now to get Kyrie and Jimmy Butler. It's kind of in the middle of where you were with De'Aaron Fox, right? Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving is an all pro. We know that. We don't know what the hell De'Aaron Fox is. Kyrie Irving is an all pro. We know where Andrew Wiggins is headed.
Right.
He's not there. Or if he's going to get there. We know where it feels like his trajectory is headed. But with Kyrie.
Yeah.
You got 2 years to get Kyrie and Jimmy Butler to mesh together. And then obviously you already have your corner piece in Karl Anthony Towns.
But if that's your trio and you could get those two in the two-year window to agree to stay, and let's say, for lack of a better term, you've got them for five, maybe 6 years, you're doing a lot of winning. Those three of Towns, Butler, and Kyrie.
Could you get something, if we continue to work this deal here, and you're Minnesota, could you get something out of Tristan Thompson alongside Karl Anthony Towns? And you go to Cleveland and your pitch is, look, your boy, he's leaving. We all know he's leaving. Your boy said he's not waiving his no-trade clause under any circumstance. You're going to be forced to blow this thing up. Send us Tristan Thompson's $80 million contract. We'll send you back this, this, and this. And now, if I'm Minnesota, I'm looking at it like I got Karl Anthony Towns, Tristan Thompson, Kyrie Irving, and Jimmy Butler. I feel like you might be able to get more out of Tristan Thompson playing alongside Karl Anthony Towns than you do Tristan Thompson playing alongside, say, Kevin Love, who likes to play. That you have two guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as extreme as Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, which I've been knocking since the day it happened, because you have a better outside game. But you can also play Karl Anthony Towns a little further away from the basket, you could play Tristan Thompson. I don't think he gets sent anywhere that he wants to. But if he does, I think it's Minnesota simply because it's in the West. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get him out of the conference. There's no way. By the way,
you're still speaking to Kyrie, not Tristan Thompson.
I'm talking about, I'm not talking about Tristan Thompson at all. I'm talking about Kyrie Irving. I don't think he's getting sent where he wants to go. I think, and if he does, it's going to be Minnesota because I think
they have the most pieces to get back.
Sure, they have the most pieces, but also I don't think they want him, like we played with the dream scenario before. By the way, this was before John Wall signed his contract extension. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But we had the scenario of who says no, the old Bill Simmons line of Kyrie to Washington and John Wall to Cleveland.
Yeah.
But I don't think they want him anywhere near that conference.
Yeah.
Just because Dan Gilbert is a spiteful turd.
True. And that, I mean, his wish list was great, but whatever. That's irrelevant to them. But Minnesota,
but maybe New York. Maybe you send him because what is New York going to do?
Yeah, they're not ready.
They're not going to do anything if
he can be
Kyrie
an all-star
there.
And their best player doesn't much matter.
In fact, that'd be such a damn shame if he got sent there because it's like, okay, he's wasted now. Like,
right.
We're not going to see him. Like, anyone buying into Kyrie, probably, I don't think they're going to move Carmelo out of there. So Kyrie, Carmelo, and Porzingis? I don't think so.
Yeah, the more I've thought about this one, too, over the weekend, the two parts that are still jumping out to me is if we go on the premise of what we know of what Kyrie kind of wanting to be the top dog, if that's the fair statement. Like, he wants to be the 1A.
Ugh.
If we all believe that LeBron's leaving.
Yep, stay.
Right.
But
so that's one part.
I thought of that this morning. I thought of that this morning. I actually thought about it all weekend because I don't have a life. It's gonna be a crap storm when LeBron leaves.
Correct.
Because it always is. Anytime he leaves anywhere, it's a big deal. It's a bigger deal when he leaves Cleveland than when he leaves Miami. So the whole story will be LeBron leaving, all of the crap that follows, where LeBron goes. Kyrie's going to get kind of lost.
He just wants to get out of that.
I think he wants
bubble.
To get away from anything that has to do with LeBron James. And then what happens if, we're heading into the 2017-18 season. Say they get to the finals fourth straight year. Lose to Golden State in four games. And next season rolls around, and they're a sixth seed that loses in the first round. He's always measured now against LeBron era Cavs.
Gotcha.
If he's still there in Cleveland, he's always measured against.
That's fair.
And by the way, I think it was 22, 24, 23 wins his seasons before LeBron James got there in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So I think he needs to.
But that's what it
I think
could
he
be
wants
elsewhere, too.
To rid himself. Sure.
Yeah.
It could be. But I think
he's out of his shadow.
I think he's trying to put himself in a position, which he has little ability to do. I think he's trying to put himself in a position where he's not caught in, say, an Orlando or a Phoenix or something like that.
And the other part that I thought of is Cleveland's side of this, where we've mentioned all the things that, one, they don't have to trade him. But if you do entertain the thought of trading him, we know in general that you don't get fair value back for the star player. But I feel like they're going to try to check a couple of different boxes if they can. They want talent back. They probably want immediate return because
they want to go to the finals.
Yeah, you're assuming this is LeBron. Well, either way, whether LeBron stays there long or not, you were trying to maximize this year with LeBron James. But I also think you're trying to check a box, too, of longer term. Like, there is a scenario where you trade Kyrie and LeBron leaves after the year, and maybe you got that Carmelo Anthony to join you for a push at the one final, but what does that do in two summer or, you know, next summer?
Right.
So
when LeBron and Melo are both gone.
Right. That's why I think Minnesota, back to them, makes some sense, because if you got a young player like Wiggins, you're not saying that still helps us this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, if we lost LeBron –
We lost Kyrie, who they thought was going to be their building block for the future.
We need someone like that.
But they thought Andrew Wiggins was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're almost going back to square one that summer LeBron came back. Except now, instead of Kyrie, you probably have Andrew Wiggins and Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you would rather go the point guard route, you work Kevin Love and try to get something out of it. Oh, by the way, Derrick Rose is meeting with Cleveland this year. So that's not a long-term solution. We're looking at a one-year deal for probably a league minimum. But we'll talk a little. By the time the 2 o'clock hour rolls around, we expect to have a little bit more on this because the meeting Obviously, it's going on in Cleveland. It's 3 o'clock in Cleveland. We might have some details on that we could share for you later in the show, but we know that that's happening today.
Yeah, there were some, you know, once the news, I mean, it dropped right during our middle of our show Friday. There was reports by Friday afternoon about Cleveland, New York, and Phoenix, and the way some of that looked, it wasn't finalized, obviously, but when some of the reports were Carmelo and then Bledsoe to the Cavs and some sort of combination between the three teams, I looked at that and went, okay. I mean, Bledsoe's a drop down from Kyrie, but it's not a colossal drop down. Mm-hmm. And then you would add Carmelo and see what you could do with Carmelo and LeBron in a final year. And but again, lots of moving parts here. And I feel timing is funny. Back to what you said earlier, why was it leaked? Who leaked it? Just Kyrie's put them and himself in a difficult position because, again, I don't know that they have to do it.
Did Kyrie or did the person who leaked it?
Because still say Kyrie because we wouldn't know, but they were still in the. What does it matter that we know? I mean, it looks worse.
Well, because not only do we know, everybody else knows.
Right.
Like, meaning Vlade knows.
Right.
And Jerry West knows.
Yeah.
And all of those guys know, whereas they might have heard.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be some when the Paul George, Jimmy Butler, when all that stuff is going on, in that article that we referenced earlier from Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst, Kyrie was in the mix in one of those deals.
Yes.
I think it was
which
the Jimmy.
Which apparently bothered him, too.
Right. So he found out about that, and it was like, oh, all right. Now, I think this was – he was in the trade mix before he went and formally requested a trade from Dan Gilbert. So,
but even in that article,
just more fuel to his frustration, I guess.
I can't remember what point of the year was it, January or February? They were in a little bit of a losing streak. He had a terrible game.
Got the extra shots up, went to the locker room.
San Antonio, right? And just kind of lamenting to management and front office just how frustrated he was. So this has been lingering, apparently, but. You know, those kind of things happen during a season. Usually they get smoothed over, but I know they don't have to trade him. I just think that would be so awkward come training camp if they're there together.
And I think that's what he's banking on, right? All of this, not just I think it's more than just Kyrie that's banking on this too. And we'll touch on that, I promise, in 10 minutes. But we got to get something done.
Yeah.
Right. This can't carry over. That's why all of these details are coming out. Brian Windhorst is Mr. LeBron James. He's Mr. Cleveland. There's a reason all of these details, these very specific details, are out there. And then the next day, so this all happened Friday, sometime over the weekend, a report for whatever reason came out that under no circumstance will LeBron James waive his no-trade clause.
Correct.
Okay, that was interesting. I don't know that anyone – I know – before I realized he had a no-trade clause, I just assumed he didn't because of the type of contracts that he's been signing with Cleveland. But I just like he's going to get traded in February. Like they're Dan Gilbert's going to do it just because, as noted earlier, he's a spiteful turd, and that's what he's going to do. But I guess he was asked, would you consider waiving your no-trade clause? Let the front office blow it up and try to start building, knowing that you're going to leave. And he said no. He's due $35.6 next year, which I don't think a person on earth thinks he's going to take that from Cleveland. What do you think LeBron plays for next year? Again, he's due $35.6 next year.
The 18-19 season we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how would that work if he leaves? He has to take a little less, right?
A little, but I think he winds up taking a ton less. I think LeBron winds up taking somewhere around 10 to 18 million.
So to go where he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to play with whom he wants.
LeBron James will be a one man dynasty when his career is over. And if he stays in the Eastern Conference and LeBron goes anywhere next year in the Eastern Conference, they're immediately considered a favorite for the Eastern Conference finals. And so I assume, I mean, he's still on the Cavs. Kyrie, I guess let's. For argument's sake, say he's gone. I still think, barring an injury to him, that they're still in the finals this year.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how much better Boston is. I believe they're a little bit better. We both really like Washington. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on what they get for Kyrie. But you have LeBron, you have a great chance. And maybe that statement alone is what bothers Kyrie, too.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie is a terrific player, but I think people think just about that, that he's a really good player.
Well, Dame Lillard said this morning is like, man, who wouldn't want to go to the finals every year? It's and that's, you know, that's the other. I think he's so far removed from those 20-win seasons. You know, they say the grass is greener on the other side. I don't think he remembers what color that grass was before LeBron got there.
Right.
Because that stuff was middle of California drought, burnt brown. Mm-hmm. It was all bad. And now he's ready to, oh, I want to go be my own star. Really? Name a team that has a shot at winning a title that has, you know, one star.
Right.
Even Golden State doesn't have one clear cut. I think Kevin Durant's the best player on the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't agree with that.
Yeah.
They think it's Steph Curry.
Right.
Okay, so it's...
But they need all of it.
Okay, so it's Steph or it's Kevin. Okay, then who?
Right.
Well, it's Draymond. Well, no, it's not Draymond. It's Clay. Like, you can bitch and complain about the hierarchy of these teams all you want. But if you want to go to a place where, oh, Kyrie Irving's clearly the best player on that team, cool. You'll be out in the second round.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Far. Yeah, what's that team look like where Kyrie Irving is the best player on your team?
If you're lucky, you look like the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really lucky, you look like the Isaiah Thomas-led Boston Celtics.
Okay.
But what was the problem with that team?
Right.
Everyone knew they were inevitably going to get beat.
Yeah.
The only guy that you look at, oh, they really have just one major – it's Kawhi in San Antonio. But the card on the Spurs will always be the guy on the sidelines more than the guy on the floor.
Right.
So can you share the spotlight with the guy on the sidelines? And, oh, by the way, you mentioned he wants to be the guy. San Antonio's on his list?
It's not the guy.
You're not the guy, bro.
Right.
Kawhi is the guy.
Right.
In fact, excuse me, Pop is the guy. Then Kawhi.
Is he the guy in Minnesota? I don't know. I don't know that he is. Butler.
I don't know.
Butler and Towns.
I feel like it's Towns and everybody else.
Yeah.
Regardless of talent level, Towns is the Timberwolves guy.
Yeah, he hasn't been an all-star yet, but it's just a matter of time. And then Miami. Okay. Let's put you there.
Riles.
Good coach.
You're behind Riles and Spoelstra at this point.
But well, still, what is that team? Maybe in the playoffs, but you might face the Cavs first round.
Yeah.
Okay. See ya.
Be over quick.
Right.
But then, LeBron's out of Cleveland. The question is, where is LeBron after that?
Right.
And perhaps the best question is, who leaked this story? If you haven't caught on to who we believe did it in the first 23 minutes of the show, we'll tell you flat out who did it and why, or at least who we think did it and why, as we continue here. We're just getting started on this Monday edition of The Lowdown. Back here on this Monday edition of The Lowdown, we'll get to Jerry Jones and his public posturing for his boy, Ezekiel Elliott, also not the only Cowboy in legal trouble today. Let's get to Roy here. Roy, we appreciate your call, man. What do you got for us?
Well, the stars have aligned. And it's time to put the banana boat crew together.
There it is, brother.
Warm it up.
Okay. If I were Cleveland, I'd trade Irving to Houston for Chris Paul. Houston should make that deal every day. Younger, better version, guy who's actually been on a championship team. Carmelo's allegiance instantly switches from wanting to be traded to Houston to go to Cleveland.
Okay.
Okay. So you make that deal. Now, the fourth part of it, Dwayne Wade. Chicago stinks. They buy Wade out. He signs for the minimum, and you got the banana boat together.
I like it. I like it, Roy.
Yeah.
Good stuff there, my man. We appreciate you on this Monday.
All right.
It works. They're going to play together.
How did Carmelo get there, though?
Okay, little known fact, Carmelo is only an honorary member of the Banana Boat crew. Remember, Carmelo wasn't actually on the Banana Boat. It was Dwayne Wade and LeBron and Gabrielle Union was the driver and Chris Paul.
So we need to get Gabrielle Union.
Well, Gabrielle Union comes with Dwayne Wade.
I know, but on the roster. Okay.
She gets a courtside seat. She's a good heckler.
Okay, there we go.
At that point, get Kevin Love out of there. He doesn't want to be around LeBron. He certainly doesn't want to be around LeBron and all his boys. Which brings us to who leaked the story.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about this before the show.
Right.
But is it as clear to you as it is to me that LeBron's people are the ones who put this story out there?
I believe there's some truth to that.
I have zero doubt that LeBron's people put this out there.
Okay.
Because it makes him the total babyface.
Mm-hmm.
It makes LeBron has the right to exercise his option to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers next year. He is contractually obligated to do that. Everyone knows his history with Dan Gilbert, who, by the way, put his foot in his mouth again today in an entirely unrelated issue that, if we have time, we'll explain it later. If you're on social media, I'm sure you've seen it 1,000 times already. But his little "See Detroit Like We Do" banner that he put out there. But everyone knows the history there.
Right.
So he has the right to do this. Kyrie looks like the bad guy. Oh, I don't want to play with LeBron. I want out of Cleveland. I want my own team. I want my own thing. I want my own spotlight. Okay. He looks like the bad guy. Raise your hand if you don't think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to the NBA Finals this year. Raise your hand if you weren't sure the second the finals ended, a couple months ago, that, if even that, that we were getting Cavs Warriors 4. So he's the one breaking it up, right? He's mm-hmm. he's breaking up the band. So LeBron is the total babyface in this situation.
And why I think he also so quickly came out and said, oh, no, I'm not waiving my no trade.
No, game. I'm committed
yeah.
to
for at least this year
winning a championship yeah. with, you know, whether Kyrie is a part of this team or not. I'm committed to take this team as far as we can go. The way I envision this is Rich or Maverick or LeBron himself calls up Woj, says, hey, we got something for you. We know you've heard these rumors about Kyrie. Here's what we know. Lay it all out for him. I'll call you back or I'll text you in 1 hour, LeBron statement. Or a statement from LeBron's camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll tell you. That way you can get all this out there, and then you get LeBron's retort an hour later, which I think we had before we left the yeah. show on Friday.
And then he's done his Moses Instagram where he's his
oh yeah the new that was one of my best of the weekends. Spoiler alert, was the new Meek Mill album that it's a pretty damn good album that got a lot of attention because it was the latest soundtrack for LeBron's subtweeting.
Yeah,
I think remember look, bear with me, don't get cranky. Remember what was it called? Kaepernicking, where he'd
right.
do the thing where yeah. after he scored. And then there was Tebowing.
Yeah.
I feel like subtweeting on social media or subgramming should be called LeBroning.
That makes sense.
That should, it yeah. should it, that should be like
hashtag quit LeBroning.
Oh yeah. yeah.
Tell me what you really think.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think that should just be used as a term when you send out a subtweet, subtext, whatever to somebody. You just call it LeBroning.
Yeah.
Because he's the master of it.
Yes, he
so
is.
So he put I think he also tweeted, which I think was a lyric from the album, "Nobody wins when the family feuds" or something like mm-hmm. that. It's like, oh, dude, he is. And we waited. We knew an Instagram
yeah,
post
was coming. We just had to wait for the weekend.
My phone battery was damn near on zero during the final 2 hours of our show Friday, because I was refreshing his Instagram, just praying one of those music videos would pop up. But it didn't come out until, yeah. you're right, it didn't come out till the weekend. But we knew it would be there, and he didn't disappoint. He went all LeBron on him again. But it no one has more to gain. Like, Kyrie doesn't have anything to gain from this.
Getting public?
Yeah,
no,
nothing at all. Cleveland certainly doesn't. Right. Now I think we can all agree Cleveland is a mess. They are a legit train wreck. But even they know they lose if this gets out. It was LeBron.
Yeah.
Or his camp, his team. I know that there's a large contingent of people who strongly dislike him, but he gets it, and he knows how to control the message. And I don't know if there has been a single more powerful athlete in the history of professional sports than LeBron James.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other – if Kyrie was mentioned in one of those other deals, other teams were aware of that they were potentially willing to move him. So could another team in the East have gotten in front of this and thrown it out there knowing that, yeah, this kind of creates some havoc for Cleveland? Let's put them in disarray. If I'm Toronto, if I'm Indiana, if I'm one of these other teams, like Indiana was rumored to be in that one deal.
But if you're any of those teams, unless you're a team that they've talked with.
Right, which would be Indiana, right?
So, but that wasn't about Kyrie.
Which was the one that Kyrie was involved in?
I feel like that was the Jimmy Butler one.
Okay, so
but
let's say
didn't,
Chicago.
It didn't. I don't think it gave specifics. We just know that he was involved in a conversation.
Okay.
The specifics were laid out for the Indiana deal. But, okay, let's say it's Chicago. What does Chicago gain by putting this information out there? first, and then second, it's way too much information for Chicago to know.
True. They wouldn't know all the details.
Because Kyrie's people haven't come out and said, dude, that's not true.
Right.
Like, this isn't about the spotlight. This isn't about this. This isn't about that. Everything appears to be completely online with what's going on.
Well, in one sense, it could just be one of those calls to one of those guys, whether it's Windhorse, whether it's Woj, and say, hey, I feel like they're shopping Kyrie around, or they're willing to. I wonder if there's something there. Maybe there's something between LeBron and Kyrie, or Kyrie and that team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's about the only – but, I mean, I'm with you. I still think it's coming from LeBron, but I'm just trying to think of another avenue
that possibly could have come from. The only other avenue is Kyrie, but
right.
because of the amount of information there. But Kyrie gains nothing from this.
Unless he felt like they were getting zero traction on getting moved.
That's possible.
It's like, okay, it was internalized.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's jumping. We made all these trades. The draft has already happened. The free agency has happened. When am I going to get moved? Well, I better speak up.
Yep.
Or let's make it. No. That's the only other way, too.
That's absolutely possible.
Because there was a report. Well, it still could have been the case if LeBron's group leaked it, but that he was blindsided by this. So doesn't mean that he could have been blindsided and still leaked it. But
Yeah,
either way, all of it's messy in Cleveland. And LeBron and Kyrie's the one, I think, that looks the worst in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And careful what you wish for, man.
They both scenarios work, where if you're LeBron's camp and you hear about it a couple of weeks ago and you have whatever feelings you have and you kind of wait on it and wait on it. And there's, you know, I don't even know if what's the new general manager? Did he sign?
Yeah, I believe so, on Friday as well.
So that got buried pretty quickly, right?
Who? Wait, what?
You do have a general manager, because we did the whole show thinking they didn't have one. So it came out there at some point. But, so they have their – who, by the way, was the third guy in charge of the front office. Third.
Yeah.
Not even second, because they lost their second guy along with David Griffin. So I can see both sides, but if you're Kyrie, I feel like this just, even if you feel like there's no traction, it does more harm than good, because what happens now if you don't get moved?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
LeBron may look at it like, oh, for real? Okay. Let's wait it out a second, because if we wait it out, then it just looks like business and he was traded.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. Plus, there was the thing put out, hey, that LeBron went to. Now, I don't know if this was David Griffin when he was still there, if this was Dan Gilbert or somebody else in that front office, allegedly, reports have it that he went to him and said, went to them and said, do whatever you have to do, just build around Kyrie and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which most people took as a green light. All right, Kevin, Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, all of his buddies, do it all, just Kyrie. Okay, so that's out there. So if you're LeBron, you're like, okay, you kind of have a semi-public endorsement from me. All right. Turn your back
still
on me, huh?
Yeah.
No, turn your back. Okay.
I'll let you know how this goes.
I'll show you who the guy is.
Yeah.
And not only is LeBron shaping, not only is LeBron the most powerful guy, I think, in all of sports, I think he's changing the way basketball. Chris sent us a screenshot of some text that came in after we left. And one that stood out wasn't even one that he was pointing at. I just noticed, and I didn't catch the dialogue on the air between Grant and Doug, but it said something like, I don't know if it said, Grant, you're right, or you're totally right. Owners need to take a stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that era is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Players run the NBA. Players don't run all of sports, as we'll talk about in 5 minutes with Jerry Jones. But players run basketball. And I have another question regarding owners and players that we'll talk about at the 2 o'clock hour. We'll shift our focus here a little bit. We'll talk Jordan Spieth at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, plus Jerry Jones. He's preparing for an NFL fight. You can tell in his words. We'll have that for you next. Best and worst of the weekend coming up in 13 minutes plus. We'll talk Jordan Spieth's incredible Open Championship performance coming up. And we'll also get back to all this Kyrie talk, Kyrie, the Cavs. Who did it? What's it mean? And how much power do owners have anymore, particularly in the NBA? Now, speaking of owners, another best of the weekend, spoiler alert for the next segment. Ballers came back, and one of the funny things about Ballers is I think we've learned that The Rock is actually responsible for sending the Raiders to Las Vegas. I think that's going to be the storyline that develops throughout the years.
Ah.
So Raider fans in Oakland, if you're upset, you can blame The Rock, at least according to Ballers. But one of my favorite things that they do is they, you know, after the first episode of a season, they show, here's what's coming up this year, and they're talking about the move to Las Vegas. And, of course, The Rock, his character, is sitting directly across from the guy who plays the Dallas Cowboys owner.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. I was like, dude, I want, and
it tapped
makes,
in.
It makes me wonder if the NFL ever sits back and goes, man, this is too damn realistic.
Right.
This is just.
Get that off the air.
Please, this is just way too close. But the real Jerry Jones, the real Dallas Cowboy owner, spoke yesterday. He spoke about Ezekiel Elliott. He doesn't know what all the fuss is about. All right. So that very well may be true. There's a lot of underlying things that we have to pay attention to when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott's alleged potential suspension. Now, remember, this has nothing to do with the bar thing a couple of nights ago or a week ago or however long ago it was, because that investigation has been suspended. It's been shut down. No one knows what happened. Everybody just conveniently disappeared. This is entirely related to an incident that happened in Columbus that, by the way, this happened before Ezekiel Elliott was even an employee of the NFL. Keep that in mind. The other thing I think Jerry Jones is trying to do there when he says there's no evidence of domestic violence, that remember, domestic violence is similar to drug suspensions or PED suspensions or both. There are strikes involved. So even if Ezekiel Elliott gets suspended for a game,
mm-hmm.
that's a domestic violence strike, which means if something were to happen again,
right,
the parameters for his suspension totally change. Now, granted, the NFL once said it would be a league minimum 6-game suspension for a domestic violence abuse,
which to our knowledge they've never used.
Never once happened. The first, if I recall, was Josh Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He got 2, and he was the kicker in New York who we found out after that suspension
multiple
came out,
calls to the
20
police.
Some odd calls to police from his wife. So I think that's part of his fight right there. And then I also think he's bracing for if Ezekiel Elliott does get suspended, it's not a domestic violence suspension. It gets changed to a personal conduct. And two, it creates an easier pathway for Ezekiel Elliott to appeal it. Because if it's 2 games, he can appeal it. It's going to go down to 1. If it's 1 game, I don't know if he can appeal it and get it down to 0. But perhaps that's part of the reason why the NFL is holding off on making a actual suspension. Because the longer he has to appeal it, the more likely it is to get overturned.
Yeah. And
at least in my opinion.
Well, plus when the NFL comes out with a blanket statement of if you fall into this category, it's 6 games, where they run into trouble is different jurisdictions, communities, states, counties have different laws and different, and sometimes what one does in Maryland compared to Nashville, they might get a different sentence or a different
sentencing. Doesn't matter.
Well, you would think it wouldn't, but
it doesn't.
But what if there's no crime even eventually attached to it, but yet your blanket statement is,
but that happens.
Yeah,
like I mean. So Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger was never charged with anything.
Right. So what would he fall under, though? So if he's never charged with anything.
Personal conduct. That's what he was charged for. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, not charged with. That's what he was suspended
right.
for. It was personal conduct.
Okay. But is it fit under that?
They can't label it being a total slime ball.
Right.
So, I mean.
Yeah. But does it fall under, I mean, personal conduct compared to anything with domestic abuse?
Well, personal conduct, to the best of my knowledge, I mean, given the fact that we reported Adam Jones' 11th suspension last year, there's no strike system with personal conduct.
Yeah.
I think all of his suspensions are personal conduct. Unlike Josh Gordon, all of his suspensions are drug-related suspensions. So if Zeke's first suspension is a domestic violence suspension, even if it's 1 game, in 2 years down the road, another incident pops up, he now has that strike. And if you're the NFL— and granted, you know, let's say, you know, 4 years from now, you're 8 years removed from Ray Rice, 7 years removed from Ray Rice, let's assuming nothing as traumatic as that pops up again, then maybe you start to feel like you can get away with certain things and maybe people forget because it's not a hot button issue anymore. The domestic violence strike system was created because it was a hot button issue at the time.
Yes.
But at a certain point, they're not going to care about players beating their wives anymore or beating their girlfriends or beating up anybody at a night. They're just not. It's going to be less of an issue for them. And you're going to see the one-game suspensions and the two-game suspensions or whatever it may be. But the other issue is this Terrell Pryor / Jim Tressel thing where you're on the verge of punishing someone who wasn't an employee of yours at the time.
Right.
Like if they, you know.
Which is what they did with the draft, right? Some of those guys they wouldn't allow to the combine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, they're not NFL employees.
Joe Mixon.
Right. There were three or four guys this year that couldn't work out of the combine because of transgressions in college. Well, you're not our employee yet.
Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
He was another one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's kind of the NFL, again, flexing a little bit.
Right.
Where I tried to look up the circumstances regarding Terrell Pryor's suspension, and if he was a Raider. So if I'm wrong, anybody, please text in and correct me. It looked like it was a deal his agent made. Look, we want to get this behind us. We have no reason to believe he's going to play the first four games of the season and really miss anything there. We'll take the suspension and move on from there. If an agent agrees to that, it sets a terrible, terrible precedent. But I get it. He was a supplemental draft pick. You kind of take what you can get when you're in that category. Fine. But now you have an issue where the same thing's coming up. Ezekiel Elliott's on the verge of being punished for something that didn't happen while he was in the NFL. Now, as bad as it may be, and I'm not minimizing it, first of all, we don't know the circumstances around this, and it doesn't matter. But it is a domestic violence issue. But it didn't happen while he was in the NFL. I don't think you can be punished for that. Mm-hmm. If the bosses here called me into a meeting and say, look, man, we heard you did this while you were an agent. Mm-hmm. We got to suspend you for it because you called someone an idiot during a negotiation. We got to suspend you for it because we don't tolerate that.
Right.
Wait, really? That's how this works? No, in no walk of life is that how it works, because if it bothers you, you know what you do? You don't hire the person.
Exactly.
If it was an issue for the NFL, if it was an issue for the Dallas Cowboys, you don't draft him fourth overall. I think we're walking this line where someone, whether it's D. Smith or it's someone in the NFLPA, you guys, look, we support the domestic violence suspensions. We support the player conduct suspensions. We've signed off on all of this. We've signed off on the amendment that you made to put in that tier system for domestic violence. We signed off on all of that. But you can't start backtracking on these records and start bringing in these college incidents. One, it's not like if there were photos and videos and if there were just egregious details and you know, similar to like a combination of what we had with Greg Hardy and a combination of what we had with Ray Rice, then I understand how it could be an issue. And
you
have to protect yourself if you're the league to a certain degree. Even in that aspect, I think it's a really, really tough sell.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a glorified he said, she said thing right here.
Which is usually the case.
It appears to be a lot closer to a she said versus these 10 other people say something completely different, which is why Jerry made that statement yesterday about, we've read all, it doesn't look like there's anything here.
Yeah.
But you're right. That happens a lot with domestic violence, which makes it really difficult. Which, if it's a domestic violence issue, then it has to be six games. If you're going to implement this thing where it's a six-game suspension, then that's what it has to be, and there can't be wiggle room.
Right.
Because right now, in my eyes, you're not deterring anybody. Because, oh, I'll just fight it. Oh, my wife won't do this against me. You'll have to go the police route where you can't press. It used to be up to the victim to press charges. Well, I think it might have been Nicole Brown Simpson that changed that whole rule where it's no longer up to the victim to press charges. If you're called on domestic violence, you're immediately taken away. The NFL has to implement something like that, or we're going to keep running into this where their policy means nothing.
Right.
Come back with more next.